Yes, it is spring. It is spring, which is very exciting. And this is a scripture that we are looking at this spring, Isaiah 43, verse 19. For I am about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. I had planned this morning, because it's spring, to wear one of my spring summer dresses, but it is still very cold in New Zealand during the spring. So I'm wearing a woolen jumper, but it's colourful. And so I feel like it's still spring-like to some degree. Do you not agree? I like your spring outfit this morning. It looks warm, but there's yellow flowers, so I appreciate that. And anyway, I'm sure that's why you came to church, to hear about my wardrobe choices. Anyway, so we've been talking about how spring brings with it new life, and we're embracing the new thing that God is doing in our individual lives and as a church. And if you weren't here last week, I'd love to encourage you to jump online and listen to the message. This is sort of like a continuance from that. And this morning's going to be really special, and I do believe God's going to do something great in our lives. And with spring, something that comes over me, and I want to know if it comes over you, is it's something called spring cleaning. People are like, no, that does not come over me. Spring is a time where we get on the rubber gloves and we get out the vacuum cleaner or the feather duster, we get the soapy water and we go to town on our houses or our cars or our offices. Has anyone started clearing up the garage? No. Yes, I see you up the back there. Well, I had a bit of a head start on the spring cleaning because we've just moved country. So there was lots of decluttering going on, lots of cleaning going on. And spring cleaning is a time where you don't just do the normal clean, you do the every nook and cranny clean. Like you are lifting up the couch or the lounge suite and you're vacuuming underneath, under the cushions, in the car, you're getting the baby seat out and you're getting the old hard McDonald's fries that have been there for a year. You're getting them out and maybe you're dusting behind the TV and you're cleaning the filters. Like you're cleaning the heat pump filter, you're cleaning the oven filter. It's like, I can see some of you are starting to feel a little bit overwhelmed. I'm sorry. I can see people starting to make their own mental list of the things that they need to clean. I'm sorry about that. Anyway, it's the time of year when you give, listen to this, extra attention and focus to cleaning the areas you may have overlooked or allowed to slide for a few months or maybe even a whole year, right? There's many health benefits for living in a clean environment. There's one specifically I want to focus on, but there is the health benefit of being dust-free. Do you know, this is a disgusting fact, that the average home collects 18 kg of dust every year. That is so gross. And anyway, it says here, dust mites are one of the biggest predators that live in your home. Also lurking in the dust, according to a recent study, are more than 45 toxic chemicals linked to respiratory, behavioral, and neurodevelopment problems. If that's not a reason to get rid of the dust, I don't know what is. You will breathe easier for it. Another reason is so that you don't keep tripping over things when you get up in the middle of the night. The third reason, and this is what I want to focus in today, for honing on, is it's good to spring clean your home, your office, your car, anything, because it creates visual clarity. Visual clarity. What I mean by that is Lissane Oliver, in her book Sorted, it's just a book on how to sort out your house, she writes this. It says, clutter or a jumbled tangle of stuff can be really ugly. It can certainly be visually overwhelming, which in turn simply confuses your brain. Visual clarity means having some clean lines and some space for your eye to rest. A good example of achieving visual clarity is making your bed in the morning. Even if some, I hear some laughters over there. Who are the bed makers? Who are the not bed makers? It's okay. Even if there are some clothes not put away or some books or magazines lying around, the made bed provides a visual clarity. Putting away washed dishes gives you visual clarity. The main benefit of visual clarity is that you can focus on what remains. So spending 5 minutes putting things away means you have a clear workspace and you're less likely to feel overwhelmed. So one of the reasons we spring clean our life is because it creates visual clarity. And you might be thinking, I didn't come to church to hear about a home makeover. But there is a great spiritual significance that we can apply to our life from this thought. And so the title of this morning's message, drum roll please, is Spring Clean Your Life. Spring clean your life. And we want to spring clean our life. We want to give attention to the areas of our life that perhaps have been overlooked for a period of time. We want to spring clean our life so that we can get visual clarity. We want to spring clean our lives so that we can see. If we go back to the original scripture in Isaiah 43, it says, see, I am doing a new thing. Do you not see it? Do you not perceive it? Last week, I spoke from Ezekiel 47 about the rivers that came, and the messenger who walked Ezekiel through this sort of vision he was having, he said, son of man, do you see this? The reason we need to spring clean our lives is so that we can see, so we can perceive the new thing God wants to do in our lives and in our community. So how does that sound? We're going to spring clean so that we can see. So David, King David in the Bible, he was a man after God's own heart, and he did a lot of spring cleaning in his life. And we're going to look at one of his prayers that he prayed, which is definitely a prayer of spring cleaning his life, from Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. You're very quiet this morning. Are you all okay? Is it because you're feeling judged because you haven't cleaned under your couch? It's okay. Spring is a long season. You've got till like, what, the 1st of December to do it. All is well. Psalm 139, he prays this prayer. He says, God, I invite your searching gaze into my heart. Ooh. Examine me through and through. Find out everything that may be hidden within me. Put me to the test and sift through all my anxious cares. See if there is any path of pain I'm walking on. And lead me back to your glorious, everlasting ways, the path that brings me back to you. Now, if that doesn't sound like an invitation for God to do some spring cleaning in David's heart, I don't know what does. He's saying here, God, I invite your searching gaze into my heart. When we spring clean, it is that searching gaze of looking for the areas that have been overlooked. He's asking God to spring clean his heart. Examine me through and through. Find out everything that may be hidden. That's what spring cleaning is. It's looking for the hidden areas. I wonder whether we'd be willing to pray that prayer that David prayed this morning. Like whether you'd be willing, whether I'd be willing, whether we'd be willing to ask the Lord to spring clean our lives. Because if we will, it will open our eyes and give us visual clarity so that we can see the new thing that is he wants to do in our life and through our lives. Amen? So if you were here last week, I said we were going to sort of do a second part to last week, and we looked at John chapter 11. So if you've got your Bibles, you can turn to John chapter 11. Give me a wave if you've got your Bible this morning. Maybe you've got it on your phone. You can turn to John chapter 11. And for those of you who missed the message last week, let me give you a little bit of a recap on where we are up to when we're reading this passage of scripture. In John chapter 11, Jesus has been working the ministry. He's been healing the sick. He's been setting people free. And he finds himself and he's healing the sick and he's setting people free in a town that is 2 days away from his friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. So Jesus had friends. Isn't that cool to know? Anyway, his friends were 2 days away at another town. He was working here. And anyway, his friend Lazarus got really sick. And so his sisters, Mary and Martha, sent word to Jesus 2 days away that Lazarus, your friend, is really sick. You need to come. So Jesus gets word, and we talked about this last week, where it says that Jesus loved Mary and Martha, loved Lazarus, yet he stayed where he was for 2 more days. And if you were here last week, you will remember that I said that there's seasons in our life that feel like wastelands where we know God loves us, yet we find ourselves in seasons that feel dead, that feel dry, that feel barren, that feel like, God, if you love me, then why am I walking through this season? This is where Mary and Martha found themselves. And then we're going to pick up the story in verse 33. So before we get to verse 33, we find out that Lazarus has actually died. So for those of you who weren't here and you don't know the story, Lazarus actually died. And we were talking last week about how Lazarus was dead. He wasn't just dead like, you know, he'd been dead half an hour. He was like dead. He was like 4 days dead. Like blood had stopped flowing, heart had stopped, he had gone stiff. He was like dead. He had started to stink. His internal organs started eating itself. It's so gross. He was dead. So this is what happens in verse 33. Jesus finally arrives. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who'd come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept, which is another whole message in itself. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." What I love about this passage of scripture, and don't switch off if you were here last week thinking, "I heard this last week," because every time we open the word, there's something new to discover, something new to come alive within us. But what I love about this portion of scripture, it is an example of salvation. That when Jesus says, "Come out, come alive," and we come out of living our lives of sin, we come out of living life our own way, we are made alive unto him. Everything that was once dead and alive comes alive. We are spiritually alive to him. But there's a passage in the scripture that I want to focus in on this morning. And it's, where is it? It's verse 43 and 44. And we're going to look at it in the Amplified Version. I'm just giving someone a thumbs up. Okay, 11 verse 43. When he said this, he shouted with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." We have our own Lazarus coming out this morning. "Lazarus, come out." And out walked the man who had been dead. His hands and feet wrapped in burial clothes, linen strips or toilet paper, and with a burial napkin bound around his face. Jesus said to them, "Free him of the burial wrappings and let him go." Well done. Can everybody tell who it is? It's like a surprise. You'll get to see at the end. So Lazarus comes out. So Jesus has said, "Come out, Lazarus," and Lazarus has come to life. This is like us when we are made alive to Jesus. We are saved. We are saved. But the Bible talks about salvation and sanctification. We are saved and being saved. So we are made alive unto Jesus, but then we are being saved daily. We are being unwrapped. Sorry, Lazarus. Just knocked him. We are being unwrapped of the residue of death, unwrapped of the residue of our past. And I guess the thing that I wanted to point out today that I noticed when I was reading this passage of scripture, it says that there was a burial napkin bound around his face. And I guess for me, when I look at that, I think a few things. I noticed a few things. I'm glad they didn't wrap your nose this service so you can still breathe. what I notice about this is that Lazarus was made alive, but he couldn't see. He couldn't see. And there's a few things he couldn't see. Firstly, he couldn't see Jesus, the man who had made him alive, his Savior, his Messiah, who had called him out, who had resurrected him to life. Jesus could have been standing right in front of him, and he couldn't see Jesus. He also couldn't see the people all around him. He could have heard them gasping, shrieking, weeping, crying, but he couldn't see them. He couldn't see his sisters. He couldn't see his family. He couldn't see them. He couldn't see the beauty in his own life. He couldn't see his resurrected hands. He couldn't see his resurrected feet. He couldn't see his resurrected body. He couldn't see the trees and the sun. He couldn't see. And then fourthly, he was restricted and limited into around what he could do. He had just been raised to life, but as he is right now, he couldn't go around hugging his sisters and comforting them. He couldn't go and say, I'm going to cook you all a meal. He couldn't go up to Jesus and worship him before him because he was all wrapped up. And so this morning, the point of this message that we want to do is we need to spring clean our lives like Lazarus had to spring clean his life because Jesus said, loose him, get him out of those grave clothes. So I need Cameron, you look like you'd do a great job at this. You look a little like Jesus. So you can come and help unwrap Lazarus this morning and set him free from his grave clothes. Come out of that grave, come out of that grave. Just rip him out. Just rip him, get, you know, don't muck around with this. Just rip it off, the residue of the past. That's, how about rip off his eyes so he can see? He can see the new thing. Whoa, it's Curtis, everybody. Thank you so much, Curtis. You are amazing. You've got a little bit left on your leg. That's the thing, right? We get unwrapped, but there's still a little bit hanging on. There we go. It's okay. Thanks so much, Cameron. Let's thank the guys. I remember an area that I discovered that I was still all wrapped up in. And it's kind of a humorous one, and so I thought I would choose it today. And before you start judging me when I'm telling you this, you have your own areas that you are all wrapped up in. So grace, grace. And so I discovered this one because Nick and I were, I think we were newly engaged or we were newly married, probably newly engaged. And we were in the car and he was driving and we were having a discussion. You know those discussions that you have where he was trying to get across a different point of view, a different perspective than perhaps I had. Anyway, what I did, and I didn't realize that I did this, is that as he was communicating to me, I turned from him, looked out my window, and I started humming. I don't know whether it was a specific song or it was just some random hum. And he said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "You've turned away from me. You're looking out the window and you're humming and I'm trying to talk to you." And I said, "I'm not doing," he goes, "You are doing that." And what I realized in that moment is that it was something that I, the residue of the past that I still had wrapped up around me. See, when I was a little girl in my teenage years, there was a little bit of trauma going on there. And what I would do is I'd sit in a window and I'd look out the window to this beautiful white house up on a hill and I would just pretend I was somewhere else. And I'd hum or I'd sing and I'd just pretend I was somewhere where I was. And what I realized all these years later, newly engaged, about to walk into a new season, a new life as a married woman, I still had this residue of the past wrapped around me. So I had a choice in that moment, is that would I let Jesus set me free from this residue? Would I do the work? Would I spring clean my life and walk into this new season without that? Or would I just sit in it and let it take it with me? And I know that we all have different areas in our life where we need the Holy Spirit to show us and put his finger on and say, this is an area in your life I want you to spring clean. You know, that was just one example. I have had many over the course of my life. And, you know, maybe for you this morning, the Holy Spirit's already started to go, hey, I want to put my finger on your need for unhealthy attention or your need to always be in control or laziness or perfectionism or fear or insecurity or maybe anxiety or maybe anger. Maybe you lose your temper, attitudes or bitterness or unforgiveness. Whatever it is in your life, whatever is wrapping, has wrapped you up, residue from the past, Jesus wants to say to you, come out and be set free, be loose. Let those grave clothes fall to the ground. Amen. Galatians 5 verse 1. This is a really cool scripture and we're reading it in the Amplified. In this freedom, Christ has made us free and completely liberated us. Stand fast then and do not be hampered and held ensnared and submit again to the yoke of slavery which you have once put off. For freedom, Christ has made us free. He wants us to live free lives so we can walk into and see the new season that God has in store for us all. So what I'm going to do now in the time that we have left is I'm going to give us four reasons why it's so important that we spring clean our lives, and then five quick spring cleaning tips so you know how to spring clean your life. How does that sound? Yes, so you can get your notebooks out. You can drop these down on your phone. Four reasons why it's so important we spring clean our lives. And the first one, I sort of mentioned it before, is we need to spring clean our lives, number one, because Jesus wants us to be able to see Him. I think that's probably the saddest part of this story, that when Lazarus comes out, he can't see Jesus. Like, imagine it, the Jesus who had been weeping because he was moved with compassion. Imagine seeing the eyes of your Savior who had just resurrected you from the dead. Imagine seeing the glory and the wonder in that moment. Jesus wants us to be able to see Him. Sometimes the residue from our past stops us from seeing Jesus. We filter how we see Jesus through what's happened in our past, but Jesus wants us to have visual clarity in the way that we can truly behold Him, truly see Him. Matthew 5 verse 8 says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." We will see God. And I like how it talks about pure in heart. Another word for pure is the clarity, cleanliness. There's going to be a photo that comes up. We went to these springs in Takaka. This is down by Nelson, by the Abel Tasman. And we went here a few years back. And these springs are one of the clearest springs in the whole world. You can see, I think it's 81. Is it 81? You can see 81 meters into this spring because the waters are so clear. There's such a beautiful clarity. And it's so clear that, like, the guardians of this spring, they're very protective of it. So when we got there, we couldn't take water bottles, we couldn't take anything, we couldn't take bags, you had to leave it all in lockers because they didn't want anything to muddy the clarity of the spring. They wanted you to be able to see the depths, the beauty, I guess the glory of the spring. It's so important that we have pure hearts. It's so important that we allow Jesus to spring clean our life so that we can see Him with clarity in His beauty and His glory. One of the most important reasons why we spring clean our lives is so that we can see Jesus, His eyes, His heart, His beauty, His glory, His presence, His power, His goodness. I want to see Jesus. Okay, number two, reason why it's important to spring clean our lives is because Jesus wants us to see others. Jesus wants us to see others. Lazarus couldn't see the others around him, couldn't see his sisters, his friends or family. When we're all bound up with whatever's going on in our own life, we're bound up with challenges or problems or residue from the past, often it's hard to see what's going on in the lives of others. I know what it's like where there's been seasons of my life where I've had a heap going on in my own life and I've come to church and it's like, okay, it's just about me. It's just about what I've got to do. It's about me. And I actually haven't seen what's going on in the community around me. Now, don't get me wrong. There are seasons for that. There are times for that. And if you were in that space, you are so welcome to come and be ministered to. That's what church is about. But Jesus wants us to be able to see others, that we can have visual clarity and unwrap some of those areas in our life so that when we come into community, we can see the others around us. And what I love about this community is I've already heard so many stories about how as a community, you care for one another so well. You love one another well. You support one another well. And I love that you care for others. I love that. I love the work of Curate Cares with and Gift of Groceries. And I love recovery and how we're giving of ourselves to others. Jesus wants us to see others. So it's a very important reason why we would spring clean our own lives. Number three, we spring clean our lives because Jesus wants us to see the beauty in our own lives. What I love about number two, which I didn't mention, was when we spring clean our own lives and we get rid of some of our own gunk, it actually also allows us to see the beauty in other people. Sometimes when you're so caught up in what's going on in your own life and you can't actually see the beauty and the goodness and the gift and the talent in others. So I love that when we do the work in our own life, we look up and we can start to go, wow, you're amazing. Wow, you're strong, you're courageous, and we can't start to see the beauty in other people. And then number three, Jesus wants us to see the beauty in our own lives. When Lazarus was raised to life, but he was still wrapped up, he couldn't see the beauty in his own life. He couldn't see his resurrected arms. He couldn't see his resurrected legs. He just couldn't see the beauty in his own life. He couldn't see the trees and the sun. He couldn't see the beauty of his family. He couldn't see the beauty in his own life. And often, if we are still wrapped up with the residue of the past, we can't see the beauty in our own life. And I know what this is like when you sit in discontentment and you don't see the goodness of God in your own life. It's like there's like a napkin or a veil over your face, and you see everything through that filter. You see your spouse through that filter. You can't see them and the goodness that's in them as clearly as you could if it had been removed. You can't see the provision of God or the goodness of God. And it's so easy when there's so many unanswered prayers to not see the answered prayers. But when we remove this veil, we lift off this wrapping, then we can truly see the beauty in our own life and we live in contentment. The abundant life. We get to enjoy the relationships and the blessing and the goodness of God. So an important reason is Jesus wants us to see the beauty in our own lives. Number four, Jesus wants us unlimited and unrestricted in what we can do for him. As I said, Lazarus couldn't hug his sisters. He couldn't go and comfort those who had just mourned his death and now were in shock that he was alive. Can you imagine that? That would have been like crazy. He couldn't go and say it's okay. He couldn't serve them. His hands and his feet were bound. And you know, there's so many different things that I listed off, and I'm not sure what the Holy Spirit is putting his finger on in your life that he wants you to spring clean. But even the likes of anxiety, if you're still wrapped up in anxiety or insecurity, and you perhaps you come into an environment like this, it keeps you restricted and limited in what you can do for God. You might be sitting there and just so bound up in thinking about the fear of what people might think of you or stepping out or feeling like you're getting embarrassed or there's just so much going on that you're restricted. But Jesus wants us to spring clean our lives and do the hard work so that we can be unlimited and unrestricted in what we can do for him. There's a world to reach in Jesus' name. So there's four great reasons why we need to spring clean our life, and I might get the team to come join me. I'm going to give you five quick spiritual cleaning tips. Because you might say, yes, I acknowledge there are areas in my life that I need to spring clean. Even as you've been talking, the Holy Spirit's been bringing things to mind. But you might be thinking, what do I do? I feel like I've been doing this. I've been trying to do this, but I still feel wrapped up. I'm just going to quick fire five things for you. And in saying these things, I'm not saying that you haven't been working on some of these areas or you've been allowing some of these areas to work in your life. What I want to say is perhaps add another one or bundle them all together and let's see if we can walk into the freedom that God has for us. Amen. Okay, number one, spiritual cleaning tips. Number one, allow the Holy Spirit to be your cleaning buddy. Allow the Holy Spirit to be your cleaning buddy. I don't know about you, but when it comes to spring cleaning my house or any type of cleaning, it's so much more enjoyable and doable when you're doing it with other people. It's just a horrible feeling when you've got so much work to do and it's just you doing it all on your own. Unless those people who are supposed to be helping you are complaining, then sometimes it's just better to do it on your own. And all the parents said, no, my kids are awesome at cleaning. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to be our cleaning buddy. What I love about the Holy Spirit is, and this is a bit of a funny example, is it reminds me of the movie Shrek. Has anyone seen Shrek, the big green guy? Anyway, he says this little thing. He says, I'm like an onion. Do you remember that bit? And he talks about being like an onion and there's different layers to peel back. And this is what I love about the Holy Spirit is that he will peel back the layers, peel back the wrappings, the grave clothes, like at the time that he feels like we're ready to be able to do it. And there might be one layer he needs to unwrap this morning, but he's not putting his finger on another area of your life until this area has been unwrapped. And so we need to allow the Holy Spirit to be our cleaning buddy. John 16 verse 13 says, but when he, the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. And that's what I love. I love that he is our guide. He will guide us in this spring cleaning. We just need to trust in him. And like David prayed, he's, God, I invite your searching gaze into my heart. Allow the Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit, I invite your searching gaze into my heart. And this requires patience and waiting and being still and listening to the Holy Spirit. But he is faithful and he will guide us. The second spiritual cleaning tip is to allow Jesus to set you free. Allow Jesus to set you free. There's been times in my life where I've done the work and I've allowed the Holy Spirit to lead me and guide me, and I've done some of the other points that I'm going to talk about in a moment. But there have been times in my life where I just walked in and I allowed Jesus to set me free in an instant. There's times when he says, come out, come to life, be loosed, be delivered, be set free. And I've seen this happen in my own life. I still remember the moment so clearly when I got set free and delivered from the spirit of fear, like in an instant. I remember my dad, he got set free and delivered from alcoholism in an instant. I remember praying for a group of young guys and one guy, he got set free from a porn addiction in an instant. Healing, deliverance in an instant. Sometimes we just need to walk forward and go, Jesus, I'm going to allow you to set me free now. And I don't know why this doesn't happen all the time, where sometimes you're walking out the journey and other times it happens in an instant. But I don't know about you, but I'm going to, every single time I can come and say, set me free in an instant, I am going to go for that in Jesus' name. So allow Jesus to set you free. Number three, spiritual cleaning tip. Allow the word to wash your mind. This sounds cliche, but it's not. The word of God will transform your life. Romans 12 verse 2, do not conform to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What I love about the word of God is that we read the word of God and it's like a mirror. We read it and we go, oh, my life's not like that. And it reflects back to us what's going on in our life, so that we can spring clean our life, so that we can get set free and see clearly. So allow the word to wash your mind. We create these pathways in our mind. We don't do it on purpose. It just happens automatically. Years and years of thinking a certain way, and it creates these pathways that are so easy for a river to run down. But the washing of the word will renew our mind and create new neural pathways into life, into healing, into wholeness. And on that point, I want to encourage you to listen to music that sings the word of God over you. Listen to music that has the lyrics that come straight from the word, so your mind is being renewed and washed in the word. Okay, number four, are you okay? There's only two more. Number four, this is a good one, it's an important one, is allow others to help unwrap you from the grave clothes or cloths. I appreciated that Cameron, he got up and he helped to unwrap Curtis. Jesus said to them, talking of Lazarus, unwrap, it says, Jesus said to them, unwrap him. It required a community. We need to allow others to support us and encourage us, whether it's professional help, whether it's a psychologist, a psychiatrist, a counselor, a pastor, a friend. We need to allow others to go, hey, have you seen this in your life? Like Nick had to say to me, what are you doing? And I'm like, I don't know. I had to allow somebody else to put his finger on a part of my life and go, I think you're wrapped up there. I think there's some residue of the past. I think that there's some faulty thinking. And so I want to encourage you, when we spring clean our lives, to allow others in on the journey. Be part of a small group and welcome them into your life. You might not see these areas in your life, but your work colleagues might. Your family sure as heck will. Allow these people into your life to walk this journey with you. And what's so cool about that is when you allow others to be part of this journey with you, then when you start to do the work and you get unwrapped, they celebrate with you and they go, well, you used to do that all the time and you don't do that anymore. I see you. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of the work you've done. I'm proud that you've walked into this freedom. That's a really cool spiritual cleaning tip. And the last one, this one's very important, is I want to encourage you and I want you to allow yourself grace to allow time and commit to the cleanup. It's so easy to give up, but we just need to allow time and commit to the cleanup. You know, there's some areas in our life that I've spoken about that are quite easy just to get free of, shake off and move on. But then there's other areas that have come from a place of great pain, great disappointment, hurt, discouragement. And some of those places, some of those grave cloths, some of that residue from the past, it winds you tight. It's wrapped tightly around you. And some of those areas, you just need to be patient with yourself and allow time and commit to the cleanup. Allow the Holy Spirit to guide you and lead you. Don't settle for being partially unwrapped. Get free of that thing. Talk to friends and family. Allow the Word to wash you. Allow the Holy Spirit to guide you. Allow time and commit to the cleanup. You know, if we head back to David's prayer in Psalm 139, the final part of his prayer says this. It says, see if there is any path of pain I'm walking on. Wow. I've been thinking about that line a lot lately. Is there any path of pain I'm walking on? The pathway of unforgiveness, that's painful. The pathway of fear or an anxiety, that is a pathway of pain. Pathway of bitterness, that is a pathway of pain. And it says, and lead me back to your glorious everlasting ways, the path that brings me back to you. But the thing to note about that is walking down a path takes time. It says pathway, it's a pathway. So it's step after step after step after step. And so I want you to allow yourself time and commit to the cleanup. Are you receiving this morning? So this morning, that's pretty much the end of this message. And I just want, my prayer is that you would hear the heart of this message, that it comes from a place where I have committed to spring clean my life. And my prayer is, as a community, we would spring clean our lives as individuals and as a church community. And most importantly, for the reason, so that we can see Jesus, so that we can see him with clarity. We can see his goodness and his grace in our lives. And so my prayer for you is that you would spring clean your life, that you'd open your heart, that you would, as I've been praying, pray this prayer that David's been praying, and that together we can walk into the new thing. I wanna ask you the question, can you see the new thing that God is doing in your life, that he's opening up before you? Like, can you see it? Can you see the new thing that God is opening up before our church? Because if you can't, that's a great reflector of that you might be wrapped up in some areas that you need to allow Jesus to loose you from. You need to do the work to be set free from, in Jesus' name.